T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is Late Night on Sports Radio WEEI. Let's get it going. This is Late Night right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, well, away we go. Brian Barrett with you for the next 3 hours or so right here on WEEI. Your number 617-779-7937. A lot on the table tonight. A lot Red Sox related. What do you want to do with Mookie Betts after this season? Also, Chris Sale, what do you expect from him in the second half of the season? Because here's the bigger point with Chris Sale. This Red Sox team, we've been talking about what Dave Dombrowski has to do at the deadline. And we've seen all this stuff come out over the past couple of days that now the Red Sox are interested in a starting pitcher. Amazing. Now they're interested in a starting pitcher. You mean after all this time where Ryan Weber is getting starts, Josh Smith is getting starts, Hector Velasquez is getting starts. You had that fifth spot in the rotation that has been an absolute dumpster fire because Nathan Eovaldi has been hurt. Okay, so that thing has been a dumpster fire. Now you're looking for a fifth starter. Now, as you're 9 games back in the division, you think it'd be appropriate to go after a fifth starter because you were banking on Nathan Eovaldi and his ticking time bomb, which is his elbow, to come back from injury. Now you're looking for a fifth starter. But anyway, they're looking for a starter. And we all know they're in the market for a reliever, and we know they will get a reliever. They're going to get some reliever. They have to get a reliever, okay? That's the reality of where they're at right now. They're going to have to get a reliever. Apparently, they're getting another starter. They probably need 2 to 3 more relievers. They're not going to get all that, but they definitely need another reliever, all right? So you look at it from that perspective. But none of that matters if Chris Sale doesn't turn it on in the second half of the season, because this team, you would have felt really good about how they entered the All-Star break if Chris Sale just pitched good down the stretch or pitched well down the stretch. That's the issue that you have right now. That's the issue that you have. Because, yeah, Rick Porcello, you could see him aging a little bit, and clearly you need Rick Porcello to be better in the second half of the season. But you can still roll as long as Rick Porcello is giving you 6 innings, right? You're fine with that, okay. You don't expect Rick Porcello to be one of the guys starting game 1 or game 2 of an American League Championship Series or an American League Division Series or the wild card game that in all likelihood, if you do make it to the playoffs, you're going to have to play in that, because at this particular point in time, you are 2 games behind the Cleveland Indians for that wild card spot. Okay, Chris Sale does have to be that guy. So, okay, you could get a great arm in the bullpen, whether it's the Will Smith kid out with the San Francisco Giants, whoever it may be. Great, helps out the bullpen. Nathan Eovaldi comes back. He's going to apparently be the closer. I have my doubts about that. But anyway, Nathan Eovaldi comes back. Say, hypothetically, he pitches well. Okay, if Chris Sale's not Chris Sale, who's starting game 2? That's the question you have. Who's starting game 2 for the Red Sox if Chris Sale's not the Chris Sale of old? And that's why I'm wondering, which Chris Sale are we going to see in the second half of the season? And what makes you think that the Chris Sale we saw in the middle portion of his season so far, right? Because he had the bad starts to begin the year and the awful starts before the All-Star break against the Blue Jays twice and the Chicago White Sox. In between that, we saw a really good Chris Sale. So I'm kind of wondering what happened with Chris Sale. How did he just fall apart? It's one thing when you have one bad outing, right? Like if Chris Sale just had one bad outing against the Blue Jays and then he came back against the White Sox and he was great, I'd be saying, no big deal. Who cares? Okay, he had one bad start. Like when David Price goes out there against the Rangers a couple of weeks ago, remember? He doesn't even make it out of the second inning. He was awful. And then the next start, he bounces back and he's fine. And you're thinking to yourself, all right, no big deal. Who cares? Everybody deserves to have one bad start. It's going to happen all the time. Justin Verlander has bad starts, right? We see it all the time across Major League Baseball. But when you have 3 bad starts in a row and they're all against inferior competition, that's when you start to question, well, do we know? Are we so sure that the Chris Sale that we've seen the past couple of years from April to August, is that guy going to show up? That's what I'm starting to question right now. And we had somebody suggest maybe it's mechanics. And apparently that was the issue at the beginning of the season. There was something going on with his mechanics. Chris Sale Rob Bradford had a great article up on WEEI.com. I suggest you go read it right now. I'll read it later after the show, I should say. But if you check out Rob Bradford's article, Chris Sale was talking about they looked on the video and they found something. Clearly, it's not something in terms of mechanics in my mind, because you would think that they would have already shown Chris Sale that after his start, his first bad start, I should say, against the Blue Jays. But the reality of the situation is this. Chris Sale right now, for whatever reason, he's having trouble with his main pitches. He can't locate his fastball. And the difference between Chris Sale this year compared to previous seasons is that fastball, when he misses, guys are actually connecting. Guys are actually hitting his fastball, because in previous seasons, Chris Sale was so dominant that he could miss in the zone and it would miss bats. But now, for whatever reason, that fastball doesn't have the same play that it had a couple of years ago. Does not have the same play that it had last year, even going back to August before the injury. Does not have the same play. And I'm wondering if part of that is Chris Sale is overthrowing because he doesn't have the easy 94-95 like he so often had throughout his major league career. Maybe it's not as easy for Chris Sale to get it up to 94-95, so that's why maybe he's overthrowing and he's missing his spots.
Do you remember the excuse at the beginning of the year that it was too cold?
What's that?
Remember at the beginning of the year where they had an excuse where they were saying it just hasn't warmed up around here yet, just so he'd get his fastball going?
Yeah, and also the fact that we alluded to it multiple times, that they didn't ramp him up in spring training. Everybody gave all the starters that excuse at the beginning of the year, but now we're into a situation you can't use that anymore, and you thought he figured it out. It's three bad starts in a row now for Chris Sale. And now if you look at it, in the game against the White Sox, how do you explain the fact that this guy just didn't have his slider? That's his best pitch. That's his out pitch. And I get he has a great fastball, or he had a great fastball up until the past three starts, but the slider is his out pitch. That is his out pitch. That is the Randy Johnson-like slider. That's what it's been compared to, the Randy Johnson-like slider. And he has not had that in games this year, which is inexplicable, because I don't remember that happening often to Chris Sale over the past couple of years. Maybe a game or two, maybe for an inning or two. But for whatever reason this year, he's had trouble at times finding his pitches. And that's why I say with Chris Sale, Chris Sale to me reminds me of Russell Westbrook in the NBA. I've said it multiple times, and the reason is this. Chris Sale's going to give you these unbelievable outings, right? 17 strikeouts. Yeah, that was fun to watch right against the Rockies. Complete game against the Kansas City Royals. Great. Russell Westbrook during the regular season, he's got to put up crazy numbers. He had a 20-20-20 game. He had three seasons in a row where he had triple-doubles. But when it's counted for Russell Westbrook since Kevin Durant left the team, he's been bounced out of the postseason in the first round as the guy three consecutive seasons. Has not shown up when it's mattered most. For this Red Sox team, Chris Sale over the past couple of years, when it's mattered most, he hasn't shown up. He has not shown up. Two starts against the Yankees this year was not great. I get he beat the Astros one time, lost the other time, but the game he won, remember, he left after 5 1/3, and Marcus Walden came in with the bases loaded and got Jake Mrazek to bounce into a double play to get him off the jam. If you don't get a double play ball there, Chris Sale's on the hook for another loss against the Astros. And then we can go through his postseason resume, which I don't want to bore you with because it's flat out atrocious. Bad against the Astros 2 years ago. We saw last year basically a non-factor because of the injuries. So like Russell Westbrook, he's going to do some crazy things on the mound, and we see it from time to time. But when Chris Sale has been asked to pitch in critical situations since he's become a member of the Boston Red Sox, quite frankly, he has not delivered. He has not delivered. So what this team needs, more importantly, more than anything else, all these conversations we've been having over the past few weeks about the bullpen, about the starters, all that stuff we've been talking about over the past couple of weeks, none of it matters if Chris Sale doesn't get back to the old Chris Sale. Because you would have felt great heading into the All-Star break, despite the fact that your bullpen had issues, if Chris Sale was just himself over the past couple of starts. Because remember, they lost two of those games. Now, one of those games, the Red Sox bailed him out against the Blue Jays. But the two other games, the White Sox game, they lost 8-7. And the Blue Jays game, they lost 5-3. If not, they would have been going into the All-Star game in a long winning streak. The one game you lost out of your last six was a Chris Sale start. But if you had just won those two games, you'd feel a lot better about where this team's at right now. Because, you know, price is price. And you would have said, Chris Sale's the ace of the staff again. And you would have felt great about Chris Sale heading into the All-Star break. But Chris Sale's last three starts, that's what gives me the worst taste in my mouth. That's what has me worried more so than anything else about the bullpen and about some of the issues you've had with Rick Porcello, all that other stuff. None of it matters to me if Chris Sale doesn't perform up to the level that you need him to perform up to in the second half of the season. That's why, to me, this is the most important game of the Red Sox season on Saturday night. That's going to tell us what Chris Sale is going to show up for the remainder of the season. And I get it. You can say, well, you're crazy. It's 162 games. But if I see Chris Sale go to the mound at Fenway on Saturday night and perform poorly, then I'm going to say, just toss in the towel on the season. This team's not going to do what it needs to do. 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett with you for the next 3 hours or so here on WEI Late Night. Let's get to Mike. He is in North Providence tonight. What's up, Mike?
Hi, Brian. Yeah, we talked about this whole Mookie thing before, and after we got off, I got off of you, it kind of occurred to me like how to just distill it down to its purest essence.
Mm-hmm.
You have to separate Mookie's money from the talent that you're going to be bringing in, because the talent you're bringing in doesn't get paid. These
right.
guys are working for peanuts.
Yeah, club control for years to come.
That's it. And you free up that money to be used for other players, free agents, particularly free agent bullpen guys, but also you could probably, here's just one scenario, right? You could probably re-sign Benny and Jackie with that money, still have money left over to pick up a couple of arms to your bullpen. And then on top of that, if you have a good haul of prospects coming in, you could potentially have a number three starter, a second baseman, and another bullpen arm. And that, think about it, seven players, right? Realistically, by the way, that's a quarter of your roster just by trading Mookie out.
And Mike, not to mention this too, yeah. Like those prospects, if you do it this offseason, those prospects you'll be getting back are going to be some high-level prospects, because you're going to be giving the team a whole year of having Mookie. So we're talking about top-of-the-line prospects. You can probably get the number one prospect in an organization for Mookie. Certainly should be able to get a couple of top five guys.
Exactly. And in other words, guys that you can reliably be sure are going to be on your major league roster in short order. So now you have to think of it, if you keep Mookie, that's one roster spot. All the money goes to him.
Right.
No new guys come in. And now you know what you have to do? You have to fill those other six spots.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably going to cost you a lot of money to do that.
Right, Mike. And that's so why I look at it, and you're doing a great job of describing it, but just from a business standpoint, from a pure business standpoint, and at the end of all this, that's what the Red Sox are. From a business standpoint, it makes absolutely zero sense to go to arbitration with this guy, pay him $24, $25 million, whatever it's going to be for one season next year.
I think he got 30 for this year, didn't he?
He ended up getting $20 million this year, which was it was the highest for anybody entering his second year of eligibility. The record for the third year is 23 that Donaldson got, $23 million. So it makes zero sense to give him a one-year deal, which he would get before arbitration. They'd probably settle on something, and let him go into the season, and then just let him walk at the end of the year. When, from an asset standpoint, like we talk about in the NBA all the time, you have to get some return value on that. You're just going to be like what happened with Bryce Harper in the Nationals. He just walks away. You get nothing in return. You need to pick up something. When basically every time we've seen these guys go to free agency, what happens? They leave. So this just would be a dumb, dumb business mistake if they don't trade Mookie this offseason.
Well, sure, and it's just one of those things. It's just you pick up the pros and the cons, and that's a big con right there. I mean, honestly, why I'm looking for him, even if he wanted to stay, and even if he wanted to keep him, there would be a strong case to move him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I agree with you in this case,
as you're pointing out, he probably wants to go. So then it's like, okay, how much are we going to be giving up here for one more year of Mookie? I mean, really, and when you think about it, you're like, when you think about the prospects you can get in, and look at our previous teams here, and particularly this last year's team, right? How many of the guys in that starting lineup are like our prime nine guys, or guys still on their initial deals? How much of that money, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
How much of that big payroll was freed up to go and pay somebody like a David Price and bring them in, have money left over to pay it, you know, a top tier closer like Kimbrel? I mean, that was all freed up by the simple fact that we had young talent. And guess what? Our young talent that we've had here, they're about to start getting paid. So we better be able to replace them. And the best way to replace them on the fly is to move Mookie, like you said.
Yeah, I appreciate the phone call, Mike. You can grab his line if you'd like. It's 617-779-7937. The other thing, as it pertains to the Mookie Betts situation long term, is this would have been a totally different conversation if it was last year and he was the guy completely carrying your lineup. But here's what's happened over the past year. Xander Bogaerts, this has essentially become his team. every big hit this team has, it seems like Xander Bogaerts comes up with it, right? And he has the most doubles in the American League. He's leading shortstops in a lot of statistical categories. He's 26 and he's in his prime. And you have him locked up in his prime. And you think this is the start of something great for Bogaerts. The season he's having, he said signing the contract has been great for him. He's got opposite field power, which Mookie Betts does not have, which is obviously critical for the aging process. He plays a more important position. I get Mookie's a gold glover, and Bogaerts isn't the best defensive shortstop in the world, but he plays a more important position. And you know he's a phenomenal run producer. He can hit three or four in the lineup. Right now he's hitting three. The other thing that's happened since Mookie Betts had the MVP season is this guy by the name of Rafael Devers playing third base has turned out to be a legitimate, bona fide MVP candidate. So last year, those two things hadn't happened yet. Bogaerts was a good player, but he wasn't this type of player. Rafael Devers was a platoon third baseman. He was splitting time with Eduardo Nunez. Okay, and now this guy looks like a bona fide stud. So you have the three and the four hitter, and I get that right now Devers is hitting second, and I love him in the second spot, by the way. Since they put him there, they've scored in 9 of their last 11 games. But we know Devers can hit anywhere from 2, 3, 4 for the next 5 to 6 years under club control. So you're happy with that situation. So that's the difference, is you have two studs in your lineup right now. That, yeah, you had them last year, but they weren't this level of players yet. They weren't this good yet. 617-779-7937 is the number. Let's get to Lindsay in Marblehead. Hey, Lindsay.
Hi. In regards to Mookie, I think letting him go is the best way to go, because look at how many players we've signed. Almost, I mean, you have to wonder if we signed them too late, including Sale, including Evaldi. Look at Pierce. Where has he been? Did we sign them too late, and now we're on the hook with them? Why?
Yeah, so your point, Lindsay, is that you're signing them for past performances, essentially.
Correct. I mean, the only one who stepped up so far with a contract is Bogaerts. Mm-hmm. Let them go and learn from their mistake at this point.
Yeah, it's a fair point. I appreciate the phone call. You can grab her line at 617-779-7937. The thing I love about her Bogaerts points, the thing I love about Bogaerts, this dude went to the front office when they were trying to get all these other guys signed. He said, I want to be here. I want to be here. And ever since he said that, it's become his team. How many clutch hits has this guy had this season? You think back to the Rangers game. He hits the home run that is the go-ahead home run to put them ahead in that game. Minnesota Twins game, when your bullpen was absolutely wretched for the past couple of weeks. It's a 1-0 game in the 9th inning. He comes up with a big hit to add on a run and to give some cushion, if you will, to the bullpen. Big double in the Blue Jays game. Every time that it seems like there's a clutch opportunity, Xander Bogaerts delivers. That's what I love about Bogaerts. Bogaerts said, I want to be here. And now you look at that contract, $20 million per season compared to what some of the other guys are making in Major League Baseball. That's going to be a steal for the Red Sox. And by the way, we're not giving Dombrowski credit for that one, okay? I want everybody to know we are not giving Dombrowski credit for that one. Bogaerts went to them and said, I want to be here. Okay, that wasn't something they were entertaining. He said, I want to be here. And then they signed the contract, okay? So hats off to Bogaerts for doing that. This guy got a contract, he delivered. Unlike Chris Sale, who, oh, by the way, again, we are not referencing Chris Sale as the ace of the staff anymore. That title belongs to David Price ever since last postseason, and Chris Sale has done nothing to take it back yet. Let's get to Ken in New Bedford. What's up, Ken?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Sure, what do you got?
The points have been thrown out. So I was thinking, I mean, we got rid of Tyler Thornburg. That's been a dumpster fire ever since we got rid of Travis Shaw in that deal, because that panned out for the Brewers and never panned out for us.
Yeah, it panned out for the Brewers originally, but he's back in the minors now. He has not been good since then. Initially, he was good, and I believe he made an All-Star game his first year there. But your point, well taken. Thornburg sucks.
Yeah. I mean, what's next for us? I mean, yeah, you talked about Will Smith from the Giants. They definitely need a starter. They're moving Evaldi from the rotation to the bullpen. I know you were saying you're not a huge fan of it, but he did come up late in the postseason. Six innings.
Yeah. Yeah, no, my whole thing, Ken, about Evaldi is I just worry about a guy that this elbow, right, it's been a ticking time bomb. Let's not forget the guy's had two Tommy Johns. He had the same procedure on his elbow this year that he had last year, If he was a starter, he wouldn't even be ready until August 12th, based on the timeline that the Red Sox have now given us, saying it would take a month to come back. I'm just wondering if it's too much on his shoulders, if he's going to come back and he's actually going to be a competent level guy coming out of the bullpen. Because even if you look at last year, like his great run in the postseason, he was only at 6.4 strikeouts per nine innings. And when you think about elite bullpen guys, all of them are well over 10 strikeouts per nine. So I'm wondering if his stuff is going to be great coming out of the bullpen to begin with. And also, Ken, it's a lot of pressure to put on Eovaldi. They still haven't made an external move. It's almost like they're making it out like Eovaldi's riding out on his white horse and he's going to save the season.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. And then before you let me go, I just want to add a point. I know you were saying, like, if we get to the postseason, who's going to start game two? I mean, you might have Sales start game one. You got David Price. How about Erod? I know he's very inconsistent, but it's what, 9-4 with like a 3-something ERA?
Yeah, no, Ken, I appreciate the phone call. You can grab his line if you'd like. My whole point with Sale is if Sale isn't the Sale in the second half of the season that we've seen for most of his career, who is starting game two? Because you can't start Sale if he's going to be a guy that has a 4.04 ERA for the rest of the season. You can't start him. You can't justify it. Let's get to Rich in North Providence. What's up, Rich? Hey, Rich.
Hi, Brian. The first point I want to make is, you know, the amount of money that the Red Sox, the payroll and all, it's going to be nice to finally see Pablo Sandoval off the books after this season.
Yeah, that was the Panda. That was a great signing, huh?
And, you know, at least the other guy, who came along with him that year, at least he was a better free agent signing than Pablo was. What was his name again?
Who are you talking about? Adrian Gonzalez back in the... No, that was prior to that. Hanley?
Hanley Ramirez.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Hanley wasn't great either, but I mean, he was definitely better than Pablo, but that's not setting the bar too high.
But that's not setting... exactly. So, I mean, if we do... You know, if they do, in fact, trade Betts, I'll be interested, be very intriguing to see what Suter takes and which team would want to trade for him. Who do you foresee perhaps the Red Sox replacing Mookie with?
Well, I mean, they could go the free agent route and sign somebody on a relatively cheap contract, or they could wait for one of these kids to come up. I know they're really high on the Jaron Duran kid, who was just playing in the Futures game a couple of days ago. They're really high on him, and he's somebody that is one of the better prospects in the organization right now, a right fielder. So, and I appreciate the call, Rich. Maybe they do it internally. I just feel like we overrate Mookie's role on the team. Yeah, he's the leadoff hitter. I get it. He's had a great couple of seasons, but it seems like to me Mookie Betts is more replaceable than everybody makes it out to be. It's not like you're losing the guy you had last year. Let's really put this into perspective. Mookie Betts has had one season where he's had the OPS over 900. That was last year. That's not who Mookie has been throughout his major league career. He's been a really good player, but he's not been the guy he was a season ago. So we get blinded by the one season Mookie had, and we don't factor in the whole picture with him. All right, what do you think Mookie Betts will do in the second half of the season? Do you expect Chris Sale to be the Chris Sale that the Red Sox thought they were signing in the second half of the year? Your number 617-779-7937. We'll get you trending in just a second here.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The target's on your back now. Not a great first half. What's your goal for the second half to turn this thing around?
Yeah, I mean, all depends how you see it, you know. I mean, our first part of the season, we won 49 games. Yes. It's not 58 or 68, whatever it was last year. But we finished playing good baseball. Actually, we set small goals, you know, short-term goals and long-term goals. The long-term goal is to win the World Series. And we talk about it, hey, by the end of the first part of the season, let's win 50. We were one game short.
All right, that's Alex Cora talking about the second half of the season. What do you make of the Red Sox as they get ready to open things back up on Friday night against the Dodgers? Will Chris Sale bounce back in the second half of the season? Do you want Mookie Betts here after this season, considering the fact that he has given no indication that he wants to remain in Boston long term? And if you sign him up next year, 1 year at the arbitration number, it's going to be unbelievably high, and then he could just walk to the highest bidder after the season. You willing to do that, or do you want to get prospects in return? Number is 617-779-7937. The other thing that I would mention is this. When you look at the Red Sox entering the second half of the season, and you look specifically at the manager, it feels like to me one of the ways that the manager messed this thing up at the beginning of the season was it was almost as if he was too brash, right? He came out at the local baseball writers meeting and he said, if you thought we were good last year, just wait until this season. He also said this whole thing about we don't want to say turning the page because we want to pick up just where we did a season ago. Yeah, that didn't really work out for you. Then just a couple of weeks ago, he's saying that I feel like now we've turned the page on the World Series. Yeah, hopefully. Now, Alex Cora also said that they played well heading into the All-Star break. That's true in terms if you look at it from the overall record standpoint. But the problem with this team is you still have glaring issues that have not been fixed. You still have a bullpen right now that needs to be addressed at the deadline. You need to get a fifth starter according to your own team. You guys are in the search for a fifth starter. And you also need to get the ace of your staff, or the guy that's supposed to be the ace of your staff, back on track. You need to get Chris Sale going again. So you got major issues as you enter the second half of the season. And I also wonder this. So this Red Sox team, if you look at it, they are first in Major League Baseball in runs and average. They are ahead of the Yankees in on-base percentage and OPS. The only categories that the Yankees are in front of the Red Sox are in are home runs and slugging percentage. Yet this Red Sox team sits 9 games back of the Yankees in the division. Despite all that, the Red Sox offensive numbers in a lot of categories are better than where they were a season ago. And I get you can say, all right, some of the situational numbers aren't great. And that is certainly the case. Their situational hitting has not been as good as it was last year. I mean, even if you look at the American League MVP, remember just a couple of games ago against the Toronto Blue Jays where Sale was awful. It was a 5-3 game in the seventh inning. You have second and third with one out. Nunez pops up, doesn't hit it deep enough to bring in a run. So it stays at 5-3. And then Mookie Betts comes up to the plate, and what happens? He strikes out. So Mookie Betts does not step up when you need him to step up. So some of the situational hitting has not been there. But the other thing I look at is, so these guys are putting up historic numbers from an offensive perspective. They're first in a lot of different categories, and their offense has been great. It's been absolutely outstanding. They're top five across like every single major league category. But what is it like to be in that Red Sox lineup right now? And when you're sitting there at third base, in the case of Rafael Devers, shortstop like Xander Bogaerts, and you see the pitchers just can't deliver. You see Rick Porcello go out to the mound every fifth day. You have no idea what you're going to get.
And they can't hold a lead.
Well, that's
an issue. How degrading is that?
Well, yeah, exactly my point. When you're sitting out there in the field and you build up a 7-0 lead against the Tigers the other night, and Rick Porcello gives it back, all of a sudden it's 7-6. This is the Detroit Tigers. This is the Detroit Tigers, and it's 7-6. You're thinking to yourself, how many runs do we have to put up on a nightly basis? How many runs do we have to put up for these guys? And then if we do get the lead, to Joe's point, are the guys in the bullpen going to be able to hold this thing down? Because I'm sitting to myself, I'm Xander Bogaerts at shortstop. We have a 4-2 lead, and what's going on? I see Ryan Brazier making his way to the mound. Oh, boy. Brazier, we're going with Brazier. And to Alex Cora's credit, well, what's he going to do? Who else he going? He's got nobody he can depend on. You tell me who the reliever at this particular point in time is that Alex Cora depends on. It can't be Matt Barnes anymore. Matt Barnes is somebody that on back-to-back days has an ERA over 11. This is how bad it is right now for the Red Sox from a bullpen perspective. That 8-7 game against the Chicago White Sox, knowing that Matt Barnes had pitched on the previous day, knowing that, Alex Cora still went to him. Because he trusted nobody else in his bullpen. I hope Nathan Eovaldi's that guy. Because if it's not Nathan Eovaldi, who the hell is it going to be? You've had all these issues, and you've made no external solutions so far. You've made no external moves. All we hear from the Red Sox, well, you know, when Stephen Wright comes back, he gave us a lot of great innings out of the bullpen last year. That's what we heard from Dave Dombrowski. Yeah, how's he doing this year? two-run home run to Gardner, which gave the Yankees the lead for good in that Saturday game in London. You also look at the fact that in the Tigers game the other day, he didn't give up a run, but he walked a guy, gave up a hit, and you had to get Heath Embry warming up against the Tigers because you were afraid that Stephen Wright was going to blow a three-run lead. Blue Jays game the other day gives up a run. So Stephen Wright, one of the guys that they were saying, yeah, that's going to be a solution for us. Wait till he gets back. Yeah, how's that going? Hector Velasquez, that was another guy. When he was on the IL, they kept saying, well, wait till we get Hector Velasquez back. He's going to help us out. He's going to help us out when he comes back in the bullpen, really? What I see from the Yankees bullpen are guys that throw 100 miles an hour, like Chapman, okay? We saw him last night close out the game. What I see from the Red Sox bullpen is a bunch of really sidearm guys, in the case of Schwarren, who's now back in AAA. And then you had, what, Trevor Kelly, who came up, a sidearm guy. He was a mess. And then you got another freak show, if you will, in terms of a pitcher. You got a knuckleballer. Great. So you got the two sidearmers and a knuckleballer who the Red Sox say, these guys are going to work out for us. The Yankees got guys throwing 100. Yeah.
Really overpowering.
Yeah. You tell me who you rather have. 617-779-7937 is the number. Brian Barrett with you here on WEI. Let's get to Josiah. What's up, Josiah?
Hi, Brian.
Hey, what's going on?
Not too terribly much, my friend. Just taking a ride home from Augusta back down to the mid-coast of Maine.
Nice.
I heard you talking about Mookie Betts and the rest of it. I think you're right about Eovaldi. That's too much pressure to put on him coming right out of it. And I think he's already said he wants to be a starter. So how do you rectify that? Do we go after Stroman? Do we let Eovaldi figure his stuff out? What do you think?
Well, they're in the market for a fifth start. A lot of guys out there, the Wheeler kid from the Mets, apparently, the Boyd kid from the Tigers. Boyd's somebody that obviously Dave Dombrowski is very familiar with. Another name that's come up is Mike Leake. So, yeah, there's a lot of different guys they could go after. But to your original point about Eovaldi, and they're going to apparently get a fifth starter, Dave Dombrowski. The reporting is from Ken Rosenthal.
Right.
They'd like to add one sooner rather than later. And I'd have to ask Dave Dombrowski, because obviously that report's coming from the Red Sox. That's where they're getting their information. Sooner rather than later would have been before Josh Taylor started, or rather Josh Smith started three games, and Hector Velasquez started his sixth game. That would have been sooner rather than later. But the reason you got to do this is because the guy you gave $17 million to, he can't perform. You need to put him in the bullpen. And as it pertains to Eovaldi, the reliever, the thing that I question is he's never been a high strikeout guy. Despite the fact that he's got 100 miles an hour in his back pocket, he's never been a high strikeout guy. And usually that's not what you get out of the bullpen.
Well, Lowe and Wakefield were never high strikeout guys, and they always got it down out there in the bullpen. As far as guys that you would trust right now, the only guy you got that you can trust, I think he put the ball in the hands of is probably working. And I do think that the Red Sox are sure going to big time this year again, like they used to in the 90s, and saying to us, like, okay, you're going to be all right. You have Steve Price back. That's Pierce, just as good as a trade coming in. You've got Mitch Moreland's going to be healthy again. I agree with all that. I think that the idea that Stephen Wright's going to be our savior, that's just ridiculous. But here's my notion. Why can't we get creative about this and say, all right, Stroman, he's obviously stuck in a situation where a change could be good. The Hudson kid was great against us. You watched the games. You saw what he did against us from Toronto. And we know that they might even move the Giles kid. So maybe we can get a couple of arms out of Toronto.
Yeah, Giles has got some nasty stuff.
Right. So if you and I can all, we can agree that the bullpen's obviously where we got to go first. Remember the Mookie stuff. I think you deal with the Mookie and the Chris Sale stuff sort of two and one in the sense of, okay, what's really hurting Chris Sale? Is it the ball? You know, is it his head? Is it his mechanics? I don't know what it is, but I don't know that we have the time to figure all that stuff out, my friend. So when you get right down to it, you've run a pretty good show. It's a tight ship. I can't say I agree on the Mookie thing, and I think this is the reason why. We don't have very many right-handed hitters that come along and wear a Red Sox uniform that connect with the fan base and have us all get behind them. We haven't had one since Manny. And maybe they didn't have one before Manny. Oh, let's see, Jim Rice, Dwight Evans.
You don't think Bogarts can be that guy?
I think Bogarts can be that guy, but Bogarts is an infielder. Bogarts can be that guy to the degree that Bogarts can be Bogarts. He's not Mookie Betts. He doesn't carry the character persona around Boston. It's a ton of money. It's a grandiose ton of money. Restructured caps, so on and so forth, might allow us to save some money. Maybe Chris Sale gets moved. Maybe something happens with the balls. I don't really know. But I know that something else could be due. I'd rather hold on to Mookie. I'd look at that as a very last case sort of situational scenario. I would much rather address the bullpen problem, try to get some youngsters in there, take the pressure off of Eovaldi, and my God, stop putting all the cards and eggs in the freaking baskets of guys like Stephen Wright and Pearson. New Orleans, it's just not happening. We gotta pay attention to stuff a little bit. We're not that far away.
Yeah.
With some arms away, really. In all seriousness, you
guys. Well, I mean, they have one of the best lineups in baseball. I mean, that's not even debatable. And Mookie hasn't even been red hot yet.
Right. Right. So what happens when we get that going, and then DiBiantini, you know, and Jackie Bradley Jr., we saw what happened when we moved him up a little bit. Who knows? Maybe he's going to continue to keep on doing what he's doing. He may wind up at 275 if he keeps it up. So point is that they can get it down to play. I think that I wonder how much of this, Brian, is the ball. I really do. With Chris Sale, as I saw Verlander's comment, and I sort of processed the last game I saw, was just he left the slider just a hair too high with the last that slider out he loves to go for, and it went out of the park. So I wonder if there's something that's going to change along the way that might help Chris Sale, and maybe we don't wind up putting him in the bin or cutting him loose or losing all that money, so to speak. But either way, thanks for taking my call. I can hang up and listen.
Anytime, man. Appreciate it. You can grab his line if you'd like. It's 617-779-7937. The ball is definitely an issue in Major League Baseball. There's no debating that. But also, there's been pitchers pitching at an elite level. One guy on the staff right now. Look at David Price. He's pitching at an elite level right now. So I understand that the ball is jumping out of the ballpark, but from my perspective, that's not Chris Sale's problem. Chris Sale, something else is going on there. He's got to get it together in the second half of the season, or people are actually going to start to turn on Chris Sale. And to the Mookie point, I'm not saying trade a Mookie now, because his value is actually relatively low right now, because he hasn't had the same season he did a year ago. Not that it's like super low, but you're going to get more in the offseason for trading Mookie, because then you bring more teams into the equation. Because right now, it's just contenders. If you do it in the offseason, there's more teams looking to make that deal. All right, a lot more to get into, including the Red Sox are in the market for a starting pitcher. Is this a good idea? And some of the names floated out there. I got one guy I want them to go after. I'll tell you why. You're listening to Brian Barrett right here on WEI.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
We're in a spot where we've had to lean on them, and even some of our starters who have thrown the ball better, we're just in one of those phases where we haven't got a lot of innings from some of them at this point. So, and then you play extra inning games, played a 17-inning game. We lead the major leagues in extra inning games, so it's sort of caught up to us at this particular point. We also, people don't say much about Heath Embry, and he's a very important part of our ball club too. So you get Velasquez back, you get Embry back very soon, you get Evaldi back, already having Johnson here, and then having Stephen Wright. There's no question that's a lot of addition for us, and it'll make us deeper, and also will help the guys that have been pitching a lot get a little bit more rest.
Damn right, Dave Dombrowski. You got Stephen Wright back, baby. He's the answer. Stephen Wright, baby. Let's go. Stephen Wright. You got Heath Embry getting hot the other day in that game against the Tigers. It's 9-6. This is literally the worst lineup in baseball. 30th in runs, okay? 30th in average. You got to get Heath Embry hot because you're not sure if Stephen Wright can hold on to a three-run lead. He was going to be one of the answers for the Red Sox in terms of, hey, he's going to help out the bullpen. Yeah, he's really, really helping out this bullpen right now. Really, he's been great. He has been great, Stephen Wright, since he's come back.
He just sets up the guys, making them look like they're throwing 105 miles an hour after seeing a knuckleball.
Yeah, the only thing I'll say about Stephen Wright in a positive vein, he's, like, pretty nimble. You notice that? Like, when he goes over to cover first base, this guy is nimble. I didn't expect that with the body composition. Like, he's not a very in-shape guy, but this dude can run. Remember how he originally suffered the injury?
Those secret athletes, man.
You know how Stephen Wright, remember how he originally suffered the injury, the knee injury? That, like, now that's why he can't pitch a long period of innings? Is because he was pinch running, remember? He was pinch running back in the day. So he's an athletic guy. So anyway, I was also thinking about this, like with that fifth starter spot. Why don't you just throw Stephen Wright out there? Like, in the rationale is, well, he can't go deep into games because of the knee issue. In that fifth starter spot, you're only getting three innings out of those guys. That's all you're getting. You're getting three innings out of those guys to begin with. So why not let Stephen Wright be the lead guy in the bullpen day? That's what I do right now. Apparently, they're going to get a starter. We'll see if that happens sooner rather than later. According to Ken Rosenthal, they want to make it happen sooner rather than later. Let's get to Ben. He's in Connecticut tonight. What's going on, Ben? Hey, Ben, you there?
Yep.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you now. What's up?
Great job. You know, the thing is, I don't know why the Red Sox signed Sale, because if you look at the history of guys that are reaching 30 and you look at the way Sale is built and you look at his track record the last three Septembers, as you've noted, he's not built like a Lester. He's not built like a Clemens. He's not built like a Randy Johnson. I mean, this contract looks like it's going to be an absolute disaster, which brings me to my point that I know that the Red Sox have been very successful, but, I mean, how do you feel about the Red Sox failure to produce a homegrown stud?
Oh, it continues to happen, Ben. It's unbelievable to me. I was chatting about this the other day. If you really think about it, so during these World Series runs, if you will, now I give them credit for the moves they've made to upgrade the pitching staff, but think about it. 04, you had Pedro and Schilling, came from elsewhere. Now, I'll give them credit for Derek Lowe because they traded for him early on in his career. Remember, he was a reliever over in San Diego, so I'll give him credit for that. And then you think
right,
about...
They got him in the... They got him in Veritech.
Yeah, that was a steal. And then you think about 07, you had Beckett and Schilling. So those are two guys you got from different organizations. The team that just won the World Series. Price, of course, has been with a million different teams, and he was developed in Tampa. We also think about the fact that Chris Sale came from elsewhere. Porcello came from elsewhere. So when you look at the championship teams, really the only guy is Lester. Lester's the only guy they've developed. And Erod, you thought that would be that guy, because Erod's really their guy because they traded away Andrew Miller at the time, remember, and Erod was the number one pitching prospect in the Orioles organization. And Erod's just been, he's been fine, but I keep hearing, Ben, that he was going to take that next step, and quite frankly, he just hasn't done it. It's an issue. It's an epidemic, and it's not just this front office, right? It's not just Dave Dombrowski. This goes back years with the Red Sox.
Yeah, I mean, it's been, like you said, about 15 years. I know they got that kid, Jay Groom, but yeah, he's been, you know, he's been hurt a lot. His father was arrested for drugs. I mean, it's just, so, I mean, they don't have much in there. I mean, who are they gonna give away for Wheeler? What are they gonna get for this? Who do they got to give?
I don't want them to go after Wheeler, Ben. I don't. I rather them go after Boyd than I would Wheeler, because Wheeler's a rental. And is Wheeler going to be the guy that puts you over the top to make you a World Series contender? I just don't think that's the way you should go about it. I appreciate the call, Ben, by the way. You can grab his line at 617-779-7937. The reason I rather have Boyd than Wheeler, and Boyd's the kid out of Detroit. He's almost at 12 strikeouts per nine innings this year, has thrown less than 600 innings in his career. And Dave Dombrowski is familiar with him, because Dave Dombrowski, remember, when he traded for David Price, or when he traded David Price from Detroit to Toronto, Matthew Boyd was one of the guys that got back in the deal. He's been a late bloomer. But the difference between Boyd and Wheeler is Boyd you still have under club control until 2022. So Boyd would be a long-term play, because I don't think there's one difference maker out there. The Red Sox get a starter and all of a sudden they're contenders again. That's not going to happen. So if you're going to make a move for a starting pitcher, I'd rather it be somebody that can be here for a couple of years and that could take Rick Porcello's spot in the rotation next year, and Boyd could be that guy. Let's get to Scott. He's in Connecticut. What's up, Scott?
Hey, buddy. How you doing tonight?
Good. What do you got?
Well, you know what? I actually have three guys that I would love to trade for, if you would humor me for just a second.
Sure.
They all have the exact same name. They're... names are I pitch in double A, I have an ERA around 1.4, and I'm rocking 99 to 100 when I get out of bed.
So
I don't
need
anything for this year's. I don't want anything for this year's team.
Okay.
Let's be reasonable. We're not winning this year. We're not winning next year. Let's get some arms and build that bullpen up, and then we can actually compete.
That's a fair point, Scott. It's a good way to look at it. I appreciate the phone call. Essentially, what he's saying is he wants to get young kids, young pitching prospects into the organization, because you're not going to win a World Series. I can understand where he's coming from. I'm going to tell you, though, the Red Sox are going to be buyers at the deadline. They will not be sellers. They will not be sellers. They will be buyers at the deadline. But that's why I advocate the Mookie thing. You can replenish a lot of your farm system by maybe getting a top-tier pitching prospect in a different organization. That's why I advocate trading Mookie this particular offseason, when you're going to have more suitors and more teams at the table rather than doing it right now. Now, from a PR standpoint, I don't think the Red Sox will do it. I think they'll be scared to trade away the American League MVP, because what it looks like from an optics perspective, I don't think the Red Sox have the balls to actually do it. From a business perspective, though, it makes total sense. It makes total sense to get rid of Mookie Betts and replenish your farm system instead of letting him walk at the end of the season. That'd just be bad business. That would be really, really bad business. All right, Brian Barrett with you for the next 2 hours or so here in WEI Late Night. A lot on the table if you want to hop on board any of these topics. Do you expect Chris Sale to bounce back in the second half of the season? Would you trade Mookie Betts after this year? What do you expect from Mookie in the second half of the season? What do you want the Sox to do at the deadline? Plus some Celtic stuff I want to get into. Some interesting comments from Brad Stevens. He had a lot to say over the past couple of days. Brian Barrett with you right here on WEI.
Mutt and Callahan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.